Diana Gabaldon's Voyager has captivated millions with its spellbinding blend of historical fiction, romance, and time travel. This third installment in the Outlander series continues to dominate bestseller lists decades after its 1994 publication, with the television adaptation further cementing its cultural impact. Oprah Winfrey once called it the perfect pandemic escape, while Stephen King praised Gabaldon's ability to make history breathe. The novel's exploration of enduring love across time has resonated so deeply that Voyager tours of Scotland now attract thousands of international visitors annually. What makes this story so compelling? Perhaps it's the question we all secretly wonder. If separated from someone you loved beyond reason, how far would you go? Across oceans, through time itself, to find them again? The novel opens with Jamie Fraser waking on Culloden Field in April 1746, pinned beneath his enemy's corpse and expecting death. Instead, he survives and is secretly transported to Lallybroch by Lord Melton, who honors a debt to his brother John Grey. Jamie's subsequent years unfold in stark contrast to his former life as Laird. Living in a cave near his family estate, he becomes known as the Dunbonnet, venturing down only monthly to shave and connect briefly with humanity. These cave years reveal Jamie's profound isolation. Once a proud Highland warrior and passionate husband, he's reduced to a solitary existence, hunting by night and reading by day. By day, I was a creature of mind and books. By night, I gave myself to the dark and became something else entirely, Jamie later confesses. His identity fragments between these worlds, the civilized man and the wild creature, with only his monthly visits to Lallybroch reconnecting him to his former self. When Jenny gives birth during one such visit, Jamie's complex emotions surface. Witnessing new life while mourning Claire and their unborn child creates an unbearable tension. "I wanted to help ya," he tells Jenny afterward, "since I couldna help her." This simple confession reveals the depth of his helplessness, a proud man unable to protect those he loves. The turning point comes when Fergus loses his hand to an English soldier while Jamie watches, powerless to intervene. This sacrifice for Jamie's safety becomes unbearable, prompting him to arrange his own capture. Before surrendering, he accepts one final gift, Mary McNabb's offer of physical comfort. Their encounter isn't passionate romance, but rather a moment of human connection before imprisonment. "I know what it is to lose your heart's love," she tells him, offering not love, but compassion between two lonely souls. Jamie's journey from Culloden to imprisonment reveals how survival itself can become a burden. Having lost everything that defined him, his role as Laird, his wife, his freedom, he clings to responsibility for others as his only anchor. This theme of duty versus desire will haunt him throughout the novel, shaping his choices and relationships long after Claire returns. 20 years after returning through the stones, Claire Randall Fraser has built a successful life in Boston. Now a surgeon, she's raised Brianna to adulthood while maintaining a complicated marriage with Frank until his recent death. When she returns to Scotland with her daughter in 1968, Claire hardly expects to reopen the past, yet finds herself drawn into researching Jamie's fate after Culloden. The research becomes more than academic when Roger Wakefield discovers evidence suggesting Jamie survived. "Find out for me," Claire whispers, her carefully constructed walls beginning to crumble. This simple request marks her first acknowledgement that she might consider returning through the stones if Jamie lives. Claire's internal conflict intensifies as evidence mounts. She's torn between her daughter in the present and the man she never stopped loving in the past. Her medical career, which she built after returning from the 18th century, ironically prepared her to survive there again. "I have a diploma with an MD on it," she reflects, "but I was a doctor long before I set foot in medical school." The tension reaches its peak when Claire, Roger, and Brianna discover Jamie was alive in 1765 Edinburgh, working as a printer under the name Alexander Malcolm. Claire must make an impossible choice between her daughter and her lost love. In a poignant scene at Cragna Dun, Brianna releases her mother. "He gave you to me. Now I have to give you back to him." Claire's journey through the stones, her third passage through time, is more terrifying than before. "The world disappeared" is all she can say of the experience. Her arrival in 1766 Edinburgh marks the beginning of her most challenging voyage, not just across time, but across the emotional distance 20 years has created between her and Jamie. What makes Claire's journey compelling is not just the fantastic elements of time travel, but the very human question it poses. Can we ever truly go back? Can love survive decades of separation? Her courage in facing these questions drives the narrative forward, making readers wonder what they would sacrifice for a second chance at profound love. "It wasn't a dream," Claire whispers when she awakens beside Jamie after their reunion. This simple statement captures the surreal quality of their reconnection after 20 years apart. Their first meeting in the print shop, Jamie fainting at the sight of her, sets the tone for their complicated reunion. Physical attraction remains immediate and powerful, but rebuilding trust and intimacy proves more challenging. Their initial days together reveal how both have changed, yet remained essentially themselves. Claire discovers Jamie has become a smuggler and seditious printer, living under multiple identities. Jamie learns Claire has become a surgeon, defying the limitations placed on women in her time. Both have developed independent lives shaped by necessity and survival. Physical intimacy returns more easily than emotional openness. Their first night together is passionate but tentative, both afraid to fully believe in their second chance. "I have burned for you for 20 years," Jamie confesses, revealing how Claire's ghost has haunted him. Yet beneath their rekindled desire lies uncertainty about the years apart, about secrets still unshared. The most profound challenge comes when Claire discovers Jamie married Laoyer during their separation. Her sense of betrayal is devastating, not just because he remarried, but because he chose the woman who once tried to have Claire burned as a witch. Their violent argument exposes the raw pain of their years apart. Claire's sacrifice in raising their child alone, Jamie's lonely existence without his heart's match. "God, Jenny, do you think I care?" Jamie had once said about risking death, revealing how empty his life had become without Claire. Now reunited, both must reconcile with choices made during their separation. Claire must accept that Jamie built a life without her. Jamie must understand Claire's independence and strength were forged through necessity. Their reconciliation comes through honesty about their separate lives. Claire's marriage to Frank, Jamie's son Willie, their shared grief over lost opportunities. When Jamie kneels before Claire, renewing their blood vow with the words, "Blood of my blood, bone of my bone," they acknowledge that their bond transcends time and circumstance. Despite 20 years apart, they remain essentially connected, two halves of a whole finally reunited. Young Ian Murray, Jenny and Ian's 15-year-old son, embodies the novel's coming-of-age narrative. First appearing as a runaway who joined Jamie's smuggling operation in Edinburgh, Ian demonstrates adolescent determination to prove himself while retaining youthful vulnerability. Ian's relationship with Jamie creates tension between different perspectives on maturity. Jamie recognizes his nephew's capabilities despite his youth, while Jenny maintains he's just a bairn. This conflict culminates when Jenny demands consequences for Ian's departure. Jamie's response includes a profound lesson about mutual respect and responsibility that challenges traditional authority structures. Ian's experiences in Edinburgh expose him to adult realities prematurely. He faces a life-altering confrontation in self-defense and encounters intimate relationships before he's emotionally prepared. Jamie guides him through these significant moments with Highland wisdom and understanding. "First, ask yourself if you had a choice. Then go to confession. Say a prayer for those affected. And then you live with it, laddie. That's all." The novel's pivotal moment occurs when Ian is taken while retrieving treasure from a seal island. His capture by the Bruja initiates Jamie and Claire's Caribbean journey and demonstrates Jamie's unwavering dedication to family. He is my sister's son, Jamie states simply, explaining his willingness to undertake any necessary risks. Ian's time at Gilas Duncan's plantation represents his most challenging ordeal. He endures severe mistreatment and witnesses disturbing events that threaten his psychological well-being. Upon his rescue, Ian's conversation with Jamie about his experiences reveals deep emotional wounds. Jamie's response offers wisdom about separating involuntary physical responses from moral responsibility. By the novel's conclusion, Ian has matured significantly. His decision to keep Rollo, the wolf dog, represents his growing autonomy. Though still legally young, his experiences have granted him wisdom beyond his years. When Jamie expresses concern about returning him to Scotland, Ian's enthusiasm for American adventures indicates he's discovering his own path, evolving beyond Jamie's protege, or Jenny's child, into a young man establishing his own identity in a new world. Water becomes a powerful metaphor throughout Voyager, representing both physical and emotional journeys. From Jamie's dangerous swim to the Seal's Island to the hurricane that nearly claims Claire's life, water symbolizes the unpredictable forces that carry the characters toward their destinies. The Artemis's Atlantic crossing marks a pivotal transition in the narrative. Aboard ship, Jamie and Claire find space to rediscover each other without immediate dangers pressing upon them. "We spent our days relearning each other," Claire reflects, describing their walks on deck, discussing everything from moon landings to Brianna's childhood. These conversations bridge their 20-year separation more effectively than physical intimacy alone could accomplish. The voyage also reveals Jamie's vulnerability through his debilitating seasickness. This proud Highland warrior, reduced to helplessness by the motion of waves, must rely on Claire and Mr. Willoughby for relief. His condition symbolizes how even the strongest must sometimes surrender control, a difficult lesson for a man accustomed to mastering his circumstances. For Claire, the sea journey represents her commitment to following Jamie regardless of destination. Having already crossed the most terrifying ocean, time itself, she faces physical seas with relative equanimity. When she describes feeling tumbled free in the surf, at the mercy of forces a great deal stronger than myself, she's acknowledging her surrender to love's current wherever it might carry her. The climactic hurricane scene brings these themes to their apex. As the Porpoise sinks with all hands and Claire is swept overboard, the sea's destructive power reaches its height. Jamie's desperate dive to save Claire, followed by their hours clinging to a spar in open water, represents their absolute commitment to each other. "If you were lost in the dark," Jamie had once asked Claire, "wouldn't you be glad of a light to guide you home?" In the storm's aftermath, they become each other's guiding light, washing ashore together in America, a new world offering unexpected possibilities. This baptism by sea delivers them to American shores transformed. Having survived separation across time and near death in the hurricane, they emerge with renewed certainty in their bond. The sea, which threatened to separate them forever, ultimately delivers them to a place where they might begin again. Gilas Duncan returns as the novel's primary antagonist, transformed from the complex Witch of Cranesmere into a more sinister figure. Now living as Mrs. Abernathy on a Jamaican plantation, she represents a dark reflection of Claire, another time traveler who has used her knowledge for power rather than healing. Their parallel journeys highlight crucial differences. Both women traveled through time, but where Claire followed love, Gilas pursued power. Both used their future knowledge in the past, but Claire primarily heals, while Gilas manipulates and destroys. Both lost children to time separation, but Claire's maternal love remains pure, while Gilas develops an obsession with bloodlines and sacrifice. Gilas's evolution reveals how time travel has warped her perspective. Having moved between centuries multiple times, she views individual lives as expendable in service to her greater mission, changing history by eliminating the Stuarts. Her casual mention of poisoning multiple husbands shows how she has detached from normal human morality, seeing others as mere tools for her purposes. The confrontation in Abandoué Cave brings their opposing philosophies into direct conflict. Gelis's methodical preparation of a blood sacrifice, young Ian, contrasts with Claire's instinctive protection of those she loves. When Gelis threatens Brianna, the last of Lovett's line, Claire's maternal rage erupts in lethal violence. This killing is not calculated, but visceral, revealing that even compassionate Claire will destroy anyone threatening her child. Gelis's obsession with gemstones and ritual reflects her belief that she can control time itself with sufficient knowledge and power. Her workroom, with its carefully arranged stones, quicksilver, and sacrificial implements, represents an attempt to master forces beyond human understanding. Claire, by contrast, has always approached time travel with humility, recognizing it as mysterious and uncontrollable. Their final confrontation raises profound questions about destiny and choice. To change things, Gelis answers when Claire asks why they can travel through time. This simple statement reveals their fundamental difference. Gelis believes she can and should alter history's course, while Claire has learned that some currents are too powerful to redirect. In killing Gelis, Claire not only saves Ian and protects Brianna, but also rejects the hubris of believing humans should manipulate time to serve their own visions of how history should unfold. Lord John Grey emerges as one of the novel's most complex supporting characters, first appearing as the young English officer humiliated by Jaime during the Rising. He returns as Ardsmuir's prison governor and later as Jamaica's governor. Throughout these transformations, his unrequited love for Jaime provides a poignant counterpoint to Claire and Jaime's reunion. Grey's character challenges the novel's heteronormative romantic framework. In a story centered on Claire and Jaime's passionate bond, Grey's homosexual desire for Jaime creates a triangle that explores different dimensions of love and honor. "I am the wronged husband," Grey tells Claire, with bitter humor when they discuss Jaime, acknowledging how his feelings place him in a position parallel to hers, loving someone who cannot fully return that love. Honor defines Grey's character and his relationship with Jaime. Despite his feelings, he refuses to use his power as prison governor to force Jamie's submission. When Jaime offers his body in exchange for Grey's guardianship of Willie, Grey declines, understanding that true connection cannot be coerced. This restraint earns Jaime's respect, transforming their relationship from antagonism to a complex friendship. Grey's confession to Claire about loving someone but being unable to give them happiness only because you were not born the right person for them reveals the novel's deeper exploration of fate versus choice in love. His acceptance of this limitation, loving Jaime without expectation of reciprocation, demonstrates a different kind of courage than the novel's more dramatic adventures. The revelation that Grey is raising Jaime's illegitimate son, Willie, adds further complexity to their relationship. This arrangement allows Grey proximity to the man he loves through guardianship of his child, a bittersweet compromise that provides connection while emphasizing the impossibility of his deeper desires. Grey's presence in the narrative serves multiple purposes. He provides crucial assistance to Jaime and Claire in Jamaica, demonstrates that honor transcends national and sexual boundaries, and offers a melancholy counterpoint to the novel's central romance. His unrequited love reminds readers that not all journeys end in reunion, not all desires find fulfillment, yet dignity remains possible even in loving without hope of return. The novel concludes with Jaime and Claire washing ashore in Georgia after surviving a catastrophic hurricane. This arrival in America represents both an ending and a beginning, the conclusion of their search for young Ian and the start of a new chapter in an unexpected land. America appears as a place of possibility after the constraints of Scotland and the dangers of Jamaica. When Claire suggests they might settle there, Jaime initially expresses reservations about its wilderness reputation. Yet the final scenes hint at America's potential to offer what they've sought throughout their journeys, a place to belong together without the shadows of their past. The timing of their arrival, 1767, just before the American Revolution, positions them at another historical turning point. Having already experienced the failed Jacobite Rising and its aftermath, they now face another approaching conflict between colonists and crown. This parallel suggests they may have opportunities to apply lessons learned from Scotland's tragedy to America's coming struggle. young Ian's excitement about the Red Indians and wild creatures of America contrasts with Jamie's caution, highlighting generational differences in approaching the unknown. For Ian, America represents adventure and possibility. For Jamie, potential dangers to those under his protection. Claire, with her knowledge of American history, stands between these perspectives, aware of both the opportunities and challenges ahead. The novel's final scene at Gavin Hayes' hanging introduces themes that will resonate through their American experience: justice and injustice, freedom and constraint, community and isolation. When Claire silently toasts Hayes with lines from what will become the Star-Spangled Banner, the land of the free and the home of the brave, she acknowledges America's contradictions. A country founded on liberty that still practices slavery and public executions contains both promise and hypocrisy. As Voyager closes, Jamie and Claire have completed one journey only to begin another. Their arrival in America suggests that voyaging itself, the continuous process of adaptation and renewal, defines their relationship more than any fixed destination. Having crossed oceans of time and water to find each other again, they now face the challenge of building a life together in a land as new to them as they are to each other after 20 years apart. Voyager ultimately explores whether love can truly transcend time's passage. When Claire returns through the stones after 20 years, she and Jamie must confront not just external dangers, but the more subtle threat of having become strangers to each other. Their journey is not simply about physical reunion, but about rediscovering connection despite the changes time has wrought in both of them, from Jamie's experiences as a prisoner and printer to Claire's evolution as a surgeon and mother. The novel suggests that authentic love persists not because people remain unchanged, but because they continue choosing each other despite those changes. Physical appearances have altered. Jamie's red hair shows traces of gray, Claire's hands bear the marks of her surgical career, and both carry new scars, both visible and hidden. Yet these changes serve to deepen rather than diminish their connection. "I have lived through war and lost much," Jamie tells Claire. "I have seen my friends and kin slaughtered. I have seen many men die. But never have I felt such fear as I had watching that door close behind you, knowing you were gone forever." This confession reveals how separation crystallized rather than diminished his love, transforming it from passionate romance into something more profound and enduring. Claire similarly acknowledges that despite building a functional life with Frank, raising Brianna, establishing a medical career, maintaining social appearances, her heart remained with Jamie. "It's like, well, like I've been living in an empty house," she explains, "going through the motions of being alive, but not really there." Their reunion represents not just physical togetherness, but the restoration of their authentic selves, which neither could fully maintain while separated. The novel carefully details how they must relearn each other's habits, preferences, and ways of thinking, a process both challenging and deeply intimate. The novel's exploration of time's effects extends beyond romantic love to family bonds. Jamie's anguish at never knowing his daughter Brianna is partially healed through Claire's photographs and stories. Each snapshot and anecdote becomes a precious bridge across time, allowing Jamie to piece together the childhood he missed. Brianna's sacrifice in encouraging Claire's return to Jamie demonstrates love's capacity to transcend direct experience. She loves the father she's never met enough to give up her mother. This sacrifice is made more poignant by Brianna's understanding, gained through her own losses, of the profound emptiness her mother has carried for 20 years. Perhaps most powerfully, Voyager suggests that love creates its own continuity across time's disruptions. When Jamie and Claire wash ashore in Georgia after nearly drowning, they have lost almost everything: possessions, companions, certainty about their future. Yet in that moment of absolute beginning, Jamie introduces himself with perfect assurance. "I am James Frazier, and this is Claire, my wife." After all their separations and reunions, this simple declaration affirms that their essential connection remains unbroken, a voyage that continues regardless of where the currents might carry them next. The novel argues that true love doesn't just survive time's passage, it creates its own timeline, measured not in years, but in shared heartbeats, stolen glances, and the quiet certainty of belonging.